Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We continue our series looking at claiming our victory. Claiming our victory. There are many battles that we face in this life. We understand that a lot of the battles we face are physical battles, are mental battles, and are spiritual battles. And it's incredible how a year ago, I think it's a year ago, tomorrow was our last service all together here in the church normally. The announcement was then made on the Monday that we were going into a nationwide lockdown and we were all to stay at home. And I think to start off, we thought, oh, this is a bit different. This will be something to remember. All be done by Easter, no problem. And then it was like, well, at least we'll be ready for the summer. And then it was like, oh, maybe maybe ladies' retreat could go ahead and maybe be normal for Christmas. And now we're a year later and we're still, I'm not saying we're in the same boat, we just seem to be coming out of it. But the year has been an interesting one. And I'm sure it's safe to say that at some point, as individuals, we have worried about something. Whether we've worried about job security, whether we've worried about the virus itself, whether we've worried about family members, whether we've worried about what tomorrow holds, whether we've worried about what will happen next, how will our families cope, we've worried about not seeing our families, we've worried about the separation, we've worried then about how things will come back to normal, and it doesn't take us long to start to worry. That is almost the natural instinct that kicks in. That's the part of us that, you know, I said this morning about the flesh and the spirit battling against one another. As soon as something happens, it seems as if the flesh rises up and worry creeps in straight away. And I'll be honest with you, I can be a little bit of a worry wart because naturally I just start to worry about everything. And then Joe will come along, all super spiritual. And she says, yeah, but have you prayed about it? It's awful convicting when they say that, especially when you haven't prayed about it. But the natural instinct is just to worry about it and then to kind of like, oh, you know, jump out of it and then think, right, okay, I better pray about it. Why don't we just pray about it first? Why is our natural instinct to worry? But we do. We do worry. So how can we get past this? How can we get the victory over worry and fear that seems to creep into our lives so quickly? Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, for this time together, for the opportunity to preach you a word, for the privilege to be able to gather together in this place and to worship you. We recognize that our worship is different because we can't sing, but we also recognize that worshiping God is not about singing. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We worship you from our hearts. And Father, how incredible that we can worship you when we pray. But as a people, we are a worrying people. Wouldn't it be great if we could pray as fervently as we worry? How much sweeter would it be then? How greater would it be when we touch heaven with our prayers rather than affect our minds with worry? So Father, would you help us to recognize that the victory is ours because you've already provided a way of escape from worry. You've told us to be careful for nothing, to be anxious for nothing, to worry about nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let our request be made known unto God. And Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to realize and recognize and just claim the victory that is ours, that we will have the victory over worry tonight. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. There was a man who had a morbid fear of becoming paralyzed. And he was in a function one night and he was in a party and the lady that was sat next to him just could just hear him muttering mournfully to himself, it's happened. It's happened at last. A total insensibility in the right limb. Excuse me, said the lady, it may comfort you to learn that it is my leg that you are pinching. We worry about all sorts of things. And it's interesting how over 100 diseases have been directly attributed to worry. Worry takes away our physical energy. Worry robs the soul of our stamina. Worry, if you like, is when we worry, we are not trusting in the Lord. It's taking things upon ourselves. And, you know, this is not a case of saying, oh, you shouldn't worry, because we all do it. And it seems to be the natural response. We know what the Bible says. We know, well, if we pray, why worry? And if we worry, why pray? We understand that. We know what the Scripture says. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. We know the verses. We can quote them. But there's a difference between knowing the verses and applying the verses to our hearts and to our lives. One elderly lady once said, I always feel bad when I feel good, for I know that I'll feel bad after a while. We're always waiting for I know it's good now, but. And you know, that was one of the most frustrating things in this lockdown. I didn't want to watch the news. It was doing my head in. You know, you'd see the death rates coming down. Yes, the death rates are coming down. The cases are coming down. I know the cases are coming down, but there's another wave come in. You're like, oh, why didn't you just let us get some kind of, you know, positive energy from this? Why didn't you just let us feel a little bit like we're coming through the other side? And sometimes we can be like that in our spiritual lives. Oh, I know God's answered my prayer in this instance, but just waiting for it all to fail. What a tragic outlook, but many people live right there. When we worry, what we are effectively doing is no longer trusting in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Worry is leaning on our own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths. But when we worry, we're not acknowledging God. We're not giving it over to God. We're not handing our problem to God. We're keeping it to ourselves. He's told us to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. But worry sometimes becomes like a comfort blanket. We don't really want to give it over. We worry about what's going to take place for tomorrow when there's enough problems to worry about for today. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Worry is like a rocking chair. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's just back and forth, back and forth. And ever been on a rocking chair and made yourself sick? No. Sometimes you can get a bit queasy on a rocking chair. We had these new chairs in the house. They're like the single chairs rock back and forth, and then when they recline, then they stop rocking. Sometimes just watching somebody rocking on there can make you feel a bit sick. You're like, a bit of travel sickness or something. Stop rocking on the chair. But that's what worry is like. You're just rocking back and forth, but it's not actually getting anywhere. It's not getting us any distance. Our physical and our spiritual life is being affected because of worry. So how do we claim our victory? How do we get the victory over worry? First of all, we understand that we do have problems. That is a fact of life. It doesn't matter whether you're saved. It doesn't matter whether you're lost. You will have problems. Don't ever be fooled that when you come to know Christ as your Savior, all your problems go away. Because that's just simply not the case. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever downplay the existence of problems. In fact, it tells us the opposite. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world, you shall have tribulation. The Lord said, you're going to have problems. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Solomon said, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Troubles are a fact of life. Our problems are a fact of life. Here's the thing. The success of our lives and the victory of our lives is not in the absence of problems, but how we deal with those problems. If we try to face them in our own strength, if we try to take them on in our own merits, we're going to fail miserably and we'll just end up worrying ourselves sick. We have been through a fair amount of trials in the past year. We go through worries every day. We go through problems every day. So how then are we able to get to the point, like Paul said, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about anything. So what is worry? The word refers actually to a troubled state of mind resulting from concern about current or potential difficulties. It comes from an old English word which literally means to strangle. It refers, or it was used to refer to the practice of wolves killing sheep by biting them around the neck and strangling their prey to death. That is what worry is. And that's what worry does in our lives. It strangles us physically and spiritually, and it literally takes the life right out of us. Worry is simply interest paid on trouble before it falls due. Worry is interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. Worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Worry gives small things a big shadow. So why should we not worry? God knows what we face. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You know, sometimes we worry because people don't understand what we're going through. People don't understand what it feels like. Nobody knows what's happening. Nobody knows how I feel right now, but yet God knows. God knows exactly where we are. God knows exactly how we feel. God knows exactly what we are going through. God cares about what we face in life. He said, "Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you." And God has promised to take care of us. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We do have problems. We're not saying the fact that, look, you don't need to worry because you'll never have any problems. Problems come our way. And it's always easier for us to tell somebody else not to worry. You know, the amount of times my dad would, I don't think he'd look forward to me coming down to bring him food. Because every time he would worry, he'd be like, "Dad, get your head out of the shed. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay." And then that particular week, then when I tell Dad not to worry about it, that's the week that I'd be worried through the roof. My worry levels and my anxiety levels would just plummet or skyrocket, whichever's worse. I don't know, do your worry levels go through the roof or do they plummet? Or I don't know, whatever. But it's easy to tell somebody else not to worry. "Oh, don't worry, but it'll be okay." Yeah, but you're not facing what I'm facing. You are not going through what I'm going through. We don't play down the fact that problems don't exist. Problems will come our way. But it's dependent upon how we deal with those problems. Who we allow to deal with those problems, that is the measure between success and failure. And that brings us on to our next point, our praying. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't let the problems of life strangle you. But you know whether I get excited about this three-letter word in the Bible, but. Stop. Stop in your tracks. But in everything, not for everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. If we can't worry, if you're saying, "Well, Pastor, if you're saying I'm not allowed to worry, what can I do?" We pray. Instead of worrying, the child of God is counseled to pray. When Paul talks about praying, he says we are to pray with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let our request be made known unto God. The word prayer is the general word for coming into the presence of the Lord. When you are a saved child of God, you have access to the Father 24 hours a day. You can come into the very presence of God. God. You can come boldly before the throne of grace and you can present your prayers and supplications before the Lord. He knows what we need before we even ask of it, and yet he still wants us to pray. He still wants us to come before this throne. He still wants us to spend time in his presence. Pray, come into his presence. It carries the idea of acknowledging God for who he is. It speaks of adoration, worship, and devotion. It simply speaks, when he talks about prayer, it speaks of a weak child seeking the strength of his parent. Sometimes we rush into prayer with our shopping list. Right, Lord, this is what I need. But prayer means coming into the Lord's presence and worshiping him and praising him and recognizing him for who he is and what he's done. Prayer is the believer leaving the cares of the world behind to get lost in the presence of God. When we get our eyes off our troubles, then we can focus on the face of our Father. When trouble comes into our lives, the greatest source of strength we possess is the ability to escape from this world and to enter into his world. We can literally step into the realm where troubles, sorrows, and worries can't follow us. Job said, or it says in Job 1:20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And forget now, Job has lost absolutely everything at this point. His livelihood, his family, his wealth, his possessions, his house, everything is gone. Then Job fell down on the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, simply coming into the presence of God. And he talks about supplication. The word supplication refers to an earnest sharing of our burdens, needs, and problems. Have you ever been in that situation where you felt burdened about something and you just needed to talk to somebody, and then finally you unloaded and you told all your problems to somebody and they haven't done anything, they've just listened. But just by talking to them, it's like you've unburdened yourself, because all of those problems now are not building up inside you to the point where you're like a pressure cooker just about to explode. You've unloaded. Well, if we kind of feel an ease of that burden when we unload onto somebody else, when we cast our cares onto somebody, they haven't fixed the problem. The problem hasn't changed, the problem hasn't altered, but you feel a little bit better because you've unloaded all of that was building up inside you. If we feel better by talking to somebody in a human context, how much better would we feel if we could actually cast our cares upon the Lord? Those supplications, the earnest sharing of our burdens, the earnest sharing of our needs, the earnest sharing of our problems. This is not talking about a flippant prayer, but of prayers that arise out of the heart. Fervent prayer about needs that move the soul is in view here. God wants his children to pray. Hey, listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ took time to pray. Why do we think that we can get through the day without praying? Why do we think that we can get through our problems without seeking the Lord's face? How do we think we can handle all the issues that the world throws at us, all the worries and the cares that come to us from just living in the world in a normal time? How do we think we can get through all of that without praying, when the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't go one day without praying to his Father? Do we think that we are better than Christ? Well, I don't need to pray. Well, what are we, some kind of super saint that's greater than the Lord himself? We all need to pray. He wants us to pray with a passion. He wants us to pray about the things that move our hearts. James said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is there fervency in our prayers? Has our prayer life gone a bit stale? Is it a burden? Is the only time we check the prayer list when John sends the bulletin out on a Saturday night, we think, oh, a bit of a quick look at this now, see if anybody's been added to it? Or do we We just pray about somebody on a Wednesday night when their name is mentioned and that's it? Is it a fervency in our prayers? Paul said that we should pray, that there should be supplication, that we should let our requests be made known. The word request refers to a detailed prayer about specific issues. Let's learn to pray specifically. Lord, this is what's going on. This is what I'm struggling with. We sometimes say, the Christian shouldn't be fearful. The Bible says the Lord's not given us the spirit of fear, therefore you shouldn't be afraid. Well, I don't agree with that because we do get fearful. The Lord Jesus Christ, even when the disciples were in his presence, said, fear not, be not afraid. There are times when we're afraid. And sometimes the Lord just wants us to be truthful. He knows what's on our heart. He knows what's going on. He knows what our weakness is and what our fears are and what our worries are. And sometimes we ought to just come clean and say, Lord, I'm struggling with this particular point. This is what I'm hurting with. This is what I'm struggling with. This is what I can't cope with. This is what I'm afraid of. We should never be afraid to approach God with the specific needs of our lives. He's promised to answer us and hear us. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Paul said we are to do this in everything. It doesn't matter whether it's big things, big problems, little problems. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing is too small for God. Nothing is too trivial for him. God is never going to turn around and... You ever had a child come to you? Dad, I got a problem, what is it? And then they tell you their problem, you're like, really? With the bills I got to pay this month, and with the stuff that I got to do this month, are you coming to me with that, really? Is that your problem, honestly? The fact that you haven't got a yellow in the whole of your colouring thing, and that's the problem you're coming to me with? Not that I've ever done that, but I've heard other people doing that to bad parents. But God will never do that to us. You know, when we go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm really fearful of this. Now, somebody else might turn around and say, oh, pull yourself together. What's the matter with you? But God never turns us away and says, I've got time for that. I'm not interested in that. Really? You're coming to me as the creator of the universe with this nonsense. God is never going to do that to us. He says in all things, by prayer and supplications, let your request be made known to God in everything. Whatever it is, how big our problem is, how small our problem is, how the difficulties we face, the trials that we go through, the tribulations we face. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is too big and nothing is too small and nothing is too trivial for God. We need to pray about everything all the time. Paul says, pray without ceasing. God wants us in his presence. Why do you think Christ has died for us? You know, we think, oh, well, we're saved now and that's it. We just headed to heaven when we die and that's it. No, because God created man for fellowship. God wants us to spend time in his presence. God wants to hear our prayers and supplications. Yeah, but he knows what's on, you know, he knows what's on our hearts and minds anyway. So surely, is there any point in praying because he already knows what we have need of? Yes, he does, but that doesn't negate the fact that we don't have to pray anymore, that we can just simply leave it up to the Holy Spirit, take our groanings that can't be uttered, and there we are, that'll do, job done, that's my praying for the day. He wants us to pray. He wants us to come into his presence. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to talk to him about every matter of life. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time, might find grace and help in time of need. Do we find it difficult to pray with an attitude of thanksgiving? How can we be thankful when things are not going our way? How can we be thankful when we're worried about everything? How is that even possible to be thankful when there's so many problems stacking themselves up in our lives? You know, we've got so much to be thankful for. The fact that we've even got the privilege to pray, the opportunity to pray. The fact that we've got access to pray is enough to be thankful for. And we should approach him with a thankful heart. You know, we have a God who cares about us. We have a God that will never turn us away. We have a God who loves us and has promised to answer our prayers. Regardless of how bad life comes, God will always have a hand in our lives. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. In everything, not for everything, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But we're no longer a thankful people. You know, I think society in general has become quite ungrateful. You know, you talk today about privileged people, and I think society's become quite ungrateful. There's a lot of things that people have taken for granted, and suddenly they think they're the center of the universe. The world owes them a favor. We just hear by the grace of God. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. But yet we have a society that thinks that they themselves are God's gift to everything, and everybody deserves to bend over backwards for them to make sure they are happy. Guess what? Life is tough. Life's hard. The Christian life is hard. It's not a bed of roses. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult because we still face the same problems. But we are able to come with thanksgiving before a holy God and make our request made known to him. How incredible that we're able to come before him and praise him. We ought to be a thankful people. Not complaining for what God hasn't given us, but being thankful for what God has given us. And that brings us to his promises. The peace of God, which passeth understanding, passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Paul said in verse 7. God wants us to know that there are some precious promises that can be ours if we come to the place where we refuse to allow worry to be our master and we learn to bring our needs to him. We're promised his peace. What peace? Peace is a tranquility of the soul, a kind of peace that passes all understanding, a peace which, if you like, is an inability to worry about anything. The state of being where you are, calm in heart and mind, despite the turmoil that is raging around and about you. That peace that the Lord left with us, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That peace is divine in origin. It is a peace that cannot be disrupted by the problems or the disturbances or the difficulties of life. It is a peace that cannot waver. It is a peace that cannot be shaken. It is a peace that cannot be destroyed. That's the kind of peace that Job had. That's the kind of peace that Job had when he lost everything that was dear to him in the world, that he could turn around and worship God and just simply say, the Lord gave and the Lord took away. It wasn't a flippancy with Job. It was a peace because of his trust in a holy God. Job had that kind of peace. The three Hebrew boys had that kind of peace as they were hurled into the fiery furnace. God didn't take the fire away, but God was with them in the fire. Daniel had that kind of peace. God didn't take the lions away, but God gave Daniel a far better night's sleep than he gave Darius. God's peace keeps our heart and our minds. When Paul mentions the heart, he's referring to the seat of emotion. The heart is the place from where our feelings come from. When Paul mentions the mind, he's referring to the place where we do all of our thinking. And what is worry if it's not wrong feeling and wrong thinking? When we see our burdens, when we see our problems, when our fears, we look at them through human eyes, we'll always develop wrong feelings. It's easy to worry. It's the natural response to worry. You know, and this is not a message which says, oh, well, you lot, you all worry warts. I'm probably the worst. I worry about everything. I worry about you lot. You're a tough crowd to pass there. Some of you are really sinful. That's even more difficult to pastor. I didn't mean to look over there then, sorry. Yes. That's even harder to pastor. But we do worry, all of us worry about something or another. But let's channel our feelings and our wrong thoughts towards God so that God can keep his promise that he will keep our hearts and our minds. The word keep means to stand guard over. I've always said, you know, that the devil can't get our heart because the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart. That's that we, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the naos, the Holy of Holies. This is where God dwells now. So the devil has got no place in our heart because he can't occupy the same space as the Holy Spirit. But he goes after our mind. He whispers in our ears, you really saved. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. I can't believe you've sinned. That's it. God doesn't love you anymore. Oh, I can't believe you said that. Can't believe you did that. Remember I said, I can't remember if I said it last week or the week before, the devil is a tempter before we sin, and then the devil is an accuser after we sin. Ah, look at what you did. But the Lord stands guard. He keeps our heart and our minds. He stands guard. When Paul wrote these very words, he had a Roman guard on either side of him as he was in prison. They were standing guard over the man of God. Paul says that God stands guard, protects our heart from wrong feelings. He protects our mind from wrong thoughts. And I don't know about you, but I need that help all the time. Because we're so prone to worry. Someone has said, I would rather walk with God in the dark than go alone in the light. The more we depend upon God, the more dependable we find that he is. There's no panic in trust. We don't need to worry. Because God has created us. Isaiah 43:7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Don't worry, God has created us. We remember that God created us, and he knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. He created us for his pleasure. He created us for his purpose. He created us for his praise. He's created us. Don't worry, fear not, because God has redeemed us. Isaiah 43:1, fear not, I have redeemed you. You've been saved for a purpose. You've been saved for a reason. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he paid the price for your sin. He paid the penalty for your sin. You've been saved for a purpose. You've been saved for a reason. You don't need to fear hell because God has saved you. You don't need to fear what the world can throw at you because God has redeemed you. He's rescued you. He's ransomed you. He's taken you out of the clutches of the devil's hands and what hell has to offer. And because he has paid for you, he owns us, as it were, so we don't need to worry. You know, when I lived with mum and dad, I didn't worry about the electricity bill. I never once thought, oh, my days, I don't know, you know. I don't know if they're going to afford this month. I never worried about, you know, when I switched on the light, if it was going to come on, you know, oh, what if mum and dad haven't paid the bill this month? Oh, what if there's that, you go in the fridge? Oh, no, what if they haven't done the shopping? What if there's no food? What if they can't afford food this month? I never did that. You flip the switch on. I don't care. Happy days. Your dad would be shouting, don't leave the light on. Nah, I'm not paying for it. Now, things have changed now. Everything in the house is LED. Kids, don't touch anything. Put all the plugs off. But when you were at home, you didn't worry about those type of things. You just go in the fridge, food was there. Happy days. I had a bit of a shock then when I lived on my own and I got married and I thought, oh, I got to pay for this now. That's weird. Well, I say that. Dad still pays for stuff. But anyway, that's another story. But we don't worry about those things when we were at home as kids. We're a child of God. Some of the things that we worry about is as if we're saying, my God, I don't know if you can cope with this. I don't know if we're able to do that. God has redeemed us. He's rescued us. He's ransomed us. We belong to him. Don't worry, God knows us, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Don't worry. He knows you by name. He knows all about you. Don't worry, because he's with us. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We have the promise of God's presence. We have his presence along with us, and that ought to remove our fears. That ought to remove our worries, because he's always with us. He'd be with us through the flood. He'd be with us through the fire. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us every step of the way. And don't worry, because God is still God. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. Don't worry, because God is omniscient, he's all-knowing. Don't worry, because God is omnipotent, he's all-powerful. Don't worry, because God is omnipresent, he is everywhere. Don't worry, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't worry, because he's the Creator. Don't worry, because he's our Redeemer. Don't worry, because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Don't worry, because he's God. He's got you. He's got you in the palm of his hand, under the shadow of his wing. You know, sometimes when we were kids, in a thunderstorm maybe, you were frightened when that lightning flashed and the thunder went off. I remember one time being so scared when I was little, and Mum came up into the bedroom and I was so frightened, and I said, "Mum, I'm scared." She said, "It'll be okay." I said, "Mum, can't I come in your bed tonight, Mum?" "No," she said, "you can't. Daddy's there." I said, "Oh, what a big baby." Sometimes we just wanted our parents to say, "It'll be okay. It'll be okay." And you know, that was enough. And God just says to us tonight, "Child, it'll be okay. I've got you. I created you. I redeemed you. I know you. I'm with you. I'm God. I've got this under control. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. It doesn't matter how much more crazy this world gets. There is no point in stressing about it. There is no point in worrying about it. Why? Because God is in control." If you've read the rest of the book, you know how the story ends. And God wins. We get to be with God in glory forever. The end. So why are we worrying? It's a natural response to a lot of things oftentimes. It's our first port of call to worry. What if we put as much effort in praying as we do in worrying? How different would that be? Try it this week. This week, the moment you start to worry about something, let that be a trigger for praying. Just like fasting is. You know, when those hunger pains start to kick in and you're reminded why you're fasting, "Oh, I pray." This week, try it. The next time you're about to worry, bring it before the Lord. Pray. Maybe you'll do more praying this week than you've ever done before, because perhaps you're lined up for this week to worry about everything, every single day. Turn it around. Turn that worry into prayer and realize that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? If we worry, why pray? If we pray, why worry? Let's turn it around this week. The next time you start to worry, bring it before the Lord. And if you spend 18 hours a day worrying, then you're going to change that around this week, because you're going to convert those 18 hours of worry to 18 hours of praying. That'll be a difference. And see how different you feel. Situation won't change. Problems don't just suddenly magically disappear. But the Lord will stand guard over your head and your heart. That's where the victory comes over our worry. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight and for the opportunity to come around your word. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that is struggling in this area of their lives, you know what's on their heart. You know what is the biggest concern to them. You know what they're worrying about. You know what is causing them to have sleepless nights. You know what is causing them to become ill because they're just worrying and worrying and worrying. Father, would you help us this week to turn the emphasis from worrying to praying? Father, if we spend as much time praying this week as we normally do worrying, how closer could we be to you? How much more could we feel your presence? Because when we worry, it's as if we are pushing the presence of God away from us. But when we pray, we are rushing into the presence of God. So Father, would you help us this week when it comes to the claiming our victory over worry? Would you help us to pray? Would you help us to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our request be made known unto God, and then, and only then, will we recognize the peace of God which passes all understanding. Father, we love you so much, and we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Neil is going to come, and Eve is going to come. We're going to sing at Calvary, and if there's another male that would like to come up, or two females, don't all rush at once. Oh, look how lonely she looks down there on her own. Any women want to keep her company? Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Jill. Good job, James. Do you want to go down by there, James? Uncle Julian can go up there then. Thank you, Melinda.
I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. My burdens offered liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul implored him to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, Father there was multiplied to me. There I burned and sought for liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul from liberty at Calvary. Mercy was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
Amen. I wonder if Neil would close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Neil.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had again this evening, Lord, to gather around a portion of your word. We thank you for the message. We thank you for your messenger, our faithful pastor, and that portion of the word he brought to us. May we take on board what he told us this evening, Lord, and use it in a mighty way, that whenever witnessing opportunities come away, that we can indeed tell others all about your love, your truth, and your grace, so they too may have everlasting life if they just put their trust and faith in you. So bless us now, Lord, I pray, as we depart from this place, until we can all meet again at the appointed time, sing worshipful praises to your name, and declare your goodness once more. For I just pray now in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.